Well, this morning, we are wrapping up our series that we've been going through through Advent, and we called it All I Want for Christmas Is, and we talked about hope and joy and peace and love, and today we're going to wrap it up with those things all culminated together, and that is Jesus. You saw in that video there, All I Want for Christmas, so much bigger than the things that we get here, and this week, I'm going to have somebody special come up here, a friend of mine by the name of Brady. He's going to not even read the Christmas story. He's going to quote it from memory. And I'm going to have Brady come up here, and I want to tell you a little bit about Brady. Brady and I, we've been friends for a while now. And this last week, we went and saw the movie David, which, by the way, is a great movie. If you haven't, that is about right. Yes, it is. And we went and saw the movie David, and it's an animated version of the beginning of the life of David. And I'm coming down for you, buddy. It's all good. Hey, you want to do me a favor? Can you raise your chair up? Does this one go up?
Well, it actually can.
Okay, then let's do it. Now I want to tell you something about Brady, though, because at the movie David,
tell me when to stop.
You tell me when you want to stop. So Brady in the middle of.
I just graduated because
I love you, man. You're
and
the best.
And I saved my money up for a cruise. My mom says I've been saving up for a cruise, and she's been getting some of my passports. And I told her, hey, Mom, give me a passport. And she's not been doing a lot of good. Tell me a little bit about
all right, let me tell you the story about what you did at David. Can I tell that?
Yeah.
About how you busted out into song for me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're at David, and it comes to this like real kind of emotional part. It gets really quiet, and Brady's sitting about two rows in front of us, and all of a sudden I hear this, All I Want for Christmas is Matt Sellers.
Yeah. It goes like this, Matt. All I want for Christmas is Mr. Matt Sellers.
That's it. That's the song I heard right in the middle of it all. And I wanted to say, as we're here today and you're thinking about what do I want for Christmas, we know what Brady wants, and he got it. I'm right here. So, yes.
It looks like I'm going to wrap up my presents or gifts or wrap them when I get home because I really love presents under the tree.
I know.
It's not under the tree. And it's on the couch. My mom was telling me, like, you have to sleep in because
I can hear your
so
mom saying that.
Tired.
I bet. So I asked Brady, after he told me what he wanted for Christmas and he'd be here, I said, hey, can you open us up in prayer today? You keep pushing me away. You need the mic. All right. And I said, he said he could do it. And then his mom sent me a video of him. She said, how about this? And it was him doing what Christmas is all about. So can you do that for everybody? Can you do that for me this morning?
Mom,
can you speak into the mic so everybody?
Put
we got it. Yep, she's got the video going. We got the video up there as well. So speak into the mic so everybody online can hear you, okay? Go ahead and do it.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? Sure, Matt Sellers. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Go ahead.
Tell me. Tell me.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone about them. And they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, if they're not, for behold, I bring you good news of this joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born today in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there is with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory God in the highest. An earth peace, goodwill toward men. Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
That's what Christmas is all about.
That is what Christmas is all about, buddy. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thanks, Brady.
put that video up.
That's right. Put the video up. Got it. Nailed it.
Put that video up.
I'll tell you what, Brady.
What?
I've been doing this a long time, and I still don't have that story memorized. I'm proud of you.
Yeah. You know what I saw when I walked in?
I'm listening.
I saw Mr. Richard got a new van.
He got a new van. Mr. Richard did get a new van. Merry Christmas to Mr. Richard. Hey, let's as Brady heads back to his seat, let's pray together. Father, thank you for today, and thank you for the opportunity to be able to be in your presence once again. And God, just hearing that story, it's a story that changed everything. It's a story that changed not just the world of that point in time, but our world even today. It's a story that doesn't ever get old. And God, we're thankful for it. May we never take it for granted that your son stepped down out of heaven so that we could have life. We love you, God. And this service is for you. Pray it in your name. Amen. You know, many people call what Brady just quoted to us the Christmas story. And it is a big part of the Christmas story. It's the reason why we're here to celebrate today. But I do need to tell you, the Christmas story doesn't actually begin in a manger in Luke. The Christmas story actually begins back in the book of Genesis. Back in the book of Genesis, in a garden thousands of years before the Son of God put on flesh and he made his dwelling among us. You see, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God, he created the heavens and he created the earth and he created everything on the earth. But then he created men and women. He created male and female. And in that, he created them to have a relationship with him. A relationship with him, a relationship that was different than any other animal that was on earth. I don't know sometimes if you're like me. We've read the stories so many times to become just common. And we forget that Adam and Eve had a personal talking relationship. They spoke directly to God. God spoke directly to them. Can you just wrap your head around that for just a second? And I think about, they had everything they could possibly need. God met every possible need that they could have. Life wasn't just good for them. You know what it was? It was perfect. There was no problems whatsoever. And you know the story. They had everything they could possibly need, but apparently they didn't have everything they could possibly want. And what they wanted was something to go beyond God, to be themselves God. And in it all, I think about the perfection that was there. I think about there was no decay. There was no any problems. When they woke up on Christmas morning, their back didn't hurt. They weren't in the process of falling apart. And I think about all of these things, and in the process of this having conversation with God, God tells them in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, these words. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for on the day you eat from it, you will certainly die." I think about that conversation, and you know, there's no timeline that we know exactly about what's going on in the Garden of Eden, but somewhere in there, Adam and Eve were probably just kicking right along and having the time of their life. Everything was perfect, and they did well to stay away from it for a while, and nobody knows exactly how long it took, but one of the things that came to my mind as I was actually reading this story was an old 80s rock ballad, and it said these words: "You don't know what you have till it's gone." Or, "You don't know what you've got till it's gone." And I wonder if somehow, some way, Adam and Eve's perfection and the things that they had, they didn't realize how good or how perfect they really had it until it was taken away. And I began to think about that, and they hadn't experienced anything else besides perfection. And then a decision would come to them. A decision that would change the course of the world. It would change the course of their lives. It was a decision that was literally coerced by a serpent who, with his norm, twisted the truth of what God said And convinced them that they needed the one thing that God said they couldn't have. Adam and Eve ate from the tree and they disobeyed God. Now, up to that point in time, everything was perfect. They didn't need ugly Christmas sweaters. You know why? Because they walked around in the buff and were perfectly fine with it. They were okay with who they were. And they were comfortable in each other's presence. They're also comfortable in the presence of God up until that moment. Because the first thing they did after eating from that tree, you know what they did? They sowed fig leaves. They covered themselves. And they hid from each other and they hid from God. And in that, Genesis 3:7 says they realized they were naked. And they hid, like I said, from God. And they their perfect relationship, that conversation time they had with God was now ruined. The conversation they had towards each other, now ruined. And they were afraid. And you know what sin has a tendency to do? It has a tendency to lead us to fear. It has a tendency to lead us to fear exposure, of getting caught, of getting hurt, fear of consequences, all different sorts of fear. And they also had a fear of taking responsibility. Because if you know the story, which I'm sure that you've probably at least heard it at some point in time in your life, in that story, as soon as God says, hey, what happened? What happens next? They all start pointing fingers. Them. It was him. It was her. It wasn't me. It was that serpent. So on and so forth. They failed to take the responsibility. And I've always wondered in that conversation, right there, when God's questioning them, if somehow, some way in his mind, it crossed his mind to say, I'm just going to start over. I'm just going to hit reset. I'm going to wipe this couple off the face of the earth and let's try this again. I've always wondered if that was it, but then I began to think about probably not, because God is a God of mercy. And God is a God of forgiveness. And obviously he didn't, because, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, because of his mercy, because of that, he had this relationship with them. He had given them a perfect environment. He was faithful to meet all their needs. He did everything that was necessary for them. And they chose to reject him and follow their own desires and own plan, but God still loved them. God still forgave them. The problem is forgiveness didn't remove the consequence of the sin. They're still going to die. And that is where the Christmas story gets its origins. That is where the Christmas story begins. God was still going to give the world a rescue plan. As a matter of fact, God prophesies in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, these words. And he's talking to the serpent. He said, I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. The offspring. The offspring would come. As a matter of fact, if you jump over to the book of Galatians, Paul's writing in there, in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, he says, when the time had come to completion, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law so we might receive adoption as sons. Now, some translations actually use the words, at just the right time. At just the right time. That right time came thousands of years later. Thousands of years after that Genesis story, as Brady told us, God sends an angel. And he sends an angel to the shepherds, but he also sends an angel, Gabriel, to Mary. And Mary gets approached by an angel who hasn't been seen or heard from in hundreds of years. The last time we see him is in the book of Daniel, talking to Daniel. So he goes to this young teenage girl who's about to get married, and he drops a bit of a bomb on her. I mean, Gabe says this. He says, hey, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and you're going to become pregnant with the Son of God. Just pause right there. Imagine, some of you don't have to imagine too hard because you are teenage girls, but the rest of us, imagine having that load dropped on you. Well, first, just imagine seeing an angel talking to you and saying, hey, you found favor with God. Here's what you get to do. Of course, her initial reaction is, we all know the story, where she says, well, you know, I don't think that's possible because I've never been with a man. I've never had relations with a man. I'm a virgin. And he says, you know what? It's going to happen. It's going to be happening. You're going to become pregnant, and you're going to name this child Jesus. And, you know, it was important for Jesus to be born of a virgin. And the reason why is because if you go back to that origin story, the original story, he could not come from the seed of Adam because of what happened thousands of years before. This baby would be like no other. This baby would be one without sin. That one would live a perfect life to be the perfect lamb substitute for you and for me. Now Mary, she says yes. She says yes to a plan that God had for her life. And in the process, guess what? It's going to jack up everything else as she thought was going to be the good things. It's going to mess up some of her family relationships because she's going to tell a story to people that probably aren't going to believe her. No, seriously. It's from God. No, seriously. I've never been with a man. No, seriously. Over and over and over again for the next 9 months. She's going to be going through this extended family, regular family, friends, neighbors, and I think even of Joseph. Because Joseph, we talked about before, I can't imagine what was going through his head. And this baby is from the Holy Spirit. Sure he is. And he had to have been getting an earful from everybody else. You know he was humiliated. You know he was probably embarrassed. He'd been put into an awkward situation. How should I handle this? Should I, put her to death? Should I divorce her quietly? Because if I divorce her quietly, then basically I don't have to be the father to Jesus, but I do still have to financially take care of him. What should I do? Well, that's when an angel comes to him. And he had come up with a good plan, but the angel comes to him in Matthew 1:20 and says, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son and you're to name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And that's verse 20 and 21 of Matthew 1. But verse 22, I think, is the best part of that verse or best part of that passage. And it's because it says this. He woke up from the dream and you know what he did? He did what God told him to do. He did what God told him to do. He married her. And when the baby was born, when this boy was born, they both had been told by the angel, name him Jesus. And they named him Jesus, or actually Yeshua. And Yeshua comes from Joshua. And Joshua, if you go back into the Old Testament, brave military leader who destroyed the enemies who were against God. Destroyed the enemies who were against God's people. And he led those people back to the promised land. As a matter of fact, the word Joshua means Yahweh saves. God saves. So it's no coincidence that on this first Christmas morning, Jesus, who had come to defeat the enemy of God and bring his people back into a relationship with him by saving them from their sins, was given the name they was given. It wasn't on accident. Jesus was born to start the process, to bring God's plan to fruition that we saw all the way back in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, that we could be saved from our sins, and he came to put on flesh, and he came to dwell among us. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, says this in 2 Corinthians 5, 21. He made, God made, the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, he took our sins on the cross so that we might live. He came to die so that we could live. Not just live, but have a whole new life. Not a better life, not more things so we could feel more comfortable, so that we could have a whole new life. And that's why Jesus came. And I can tell you this morning. There's nothing under the tree that you will open. No Lexus in your driveway with a bow on it. Is there one, Christy? No, not yet. Okay. I just wanted to make sure before I said it out loud.
I don't have a Lexus in my driveway.
But we're going to get you one, Brady. That was good reading this morning, you know. But hey, we'll talk about cars right afterwards, okay?
Okay.
All right, perfect. No, going back around. Because the Christmas morning is a little bit more casual. Coming back around, there's no present you're going to get that's going to be greater than the presence of Jesus. There's nothing that you're going to get that's going to satisfy you for eternity. As a matter of fact, there's probably some things you're going to get that'll be on Marketplace before the end of January. When it comes to Jesus, it's the gift literally that keeps on giving. It's the gift that continues to change us into who God has planned you to be. And here's the thing. All that other stuff will pass away. But the gift of Jesus in us to make us a new person, to make us the righteousness of God, is one that will never pass away. If you've accepted that, thank God this morning for Christmas morning that He would send His Son. If you have never accepted that and you've never received that gift, today's a great day to do it. What an amazing Christmas present that would be. I'm going to give you the opportunity. I'm going to jump down here in the front. We're going to sing one last song. I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite Micah and Mallory to come back up. But while I'm down here, I would love to pray with you. I'd love to tell you a little bit more about why we celebrate Christmas and why it is so important. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today, and thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence. Thank you for the opportunity to come before you, to be able to praise and worship you, to be able to read the stories that you have preserved over time, so that today we could continue to see the greatness of you, to see your plan come to fruition over thousands of years, so that we could be in right relationship. What an amazing gift that is, God. If there's anybody in here today that doesn't know that, I pray that you're speaking to them. If there is somebody that is, maybe today is the day they can share that same story with somebody who doesn't know. We pray it in your name. Amen. I'll be